Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Oh, welcome back to the annual Coppa Italia elimination episode of the Roma Press Podcast. Thank you to our newest patron over at Patreon, Ant V. Ant, thank you for your support. And of course, all of our other patrons who, as you would imagine, Andy, are in a fantastic mood. If you would like to join the other degenerates complaining about the elimination of Roma, patreon.com/RomaPress, and then at @IsRomaPress on social media, YouTube, like, subscribe. You know the drill by now. And again, to a few of you, I mentioned in the previous episode, I'm just going through a very difficult personal time. Two of you wrote me some incredibly kind notes on Twitter, and I'm doing my best to close my eyes and not cry because of how kind they were. It means a lot. So thank you both. All right. Well, Andy.
I may also start to need, the messages of support if Roma keeps crashing out of the Coppa Italia. I really will need a whole inbox of messages from our lovely patrons because this thing is getting beyond ridiculous at this point. You know, it's really Roma are once again so predictable. They really are that meme of the triangle of getting your hopes up and then hopes blah blah up. You know, it's beyond parody at this point. You can say all kinds of things about this Roma team. I want to underline once again that Ranieri just reacted to this loss by once again analyzing the team with almost like a cancer. Like he spoke of us as if we were sick, you know, as if we needed to be wheeled out into that stadium. He was like, we did a good job, you know, and it's not easy for us. And the boys are doing well, you know, almost like patting us on the back, knowing that, hey, these guys were completely, you know, completely lost. And I have to do all kinds of magic to try and get something out of them. I mean, so it's so funny because he goes from one game saying, well, these guys really, they give me a lot of security. I feel there is a strong bond. I know what to expect of them. And then the next match, when they fail to do what he asks of them, he's like, well, they did everything they could, these poor little boys, you know, and now they're on their way and let's see if they can react. Let's see if they can learn from their mistakes. And here we go. How long has it been since we've won a Coppa Italia? Well, we certainly haven't learned from any of our mistakes since 2008. That's 17 years of crashing out of this ridiculous, pathetic competition. I don't even know if have you seen the kind of opponents that Juve will have? They are facing Empoli. If they win against Empoli, they're basically in the final. It's a cakewalk. It's a cakewalk. So it's such a ridiculous competition. And yet Roma, let's remember the Cremonese, no matter who the opponent is, Cesena, whatever it was, I don't even remember, Torino. Roma find a way. They find a way, and here we are. I have my inbox open. I'm waiting for the messages of support. I want to also get teary-eyed from reading some comforting words directed my way.
Well, I don't even know, because this entire performance today was one big... The only way I can describe it is through a noise. You know, like, oof, oof. There is a great bit by my all-time favorite comedian, R.I.P. Patrice O'Neill. He has a bit about something when you hear like your partner or your girlfriend call your name from the other room, he goes, and your stomach just drops and goes, oof. That is how I felt, because let's just be clear. Tammy Abraham getting a double was the most predictable, the most easily to bet on. If you didn't bet on Tammy Abraham getting a goal tonight, I don't bet on sports.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
a lot of our patrons do.
Yeah.
To me, that was the most
obvious. That's as obvious as Joe Pesci getting killed in Goodfellas. You know from the moment that he appears on the screen that he's trouble and he's going to end up dead. You just know it. The same way Tammy Abraham, in a season where Eduardo Bove, Zaniolo, Romelu Lukaku, Spinazzola, they all score against you, Tammy Abraham was a given.
It's all the more better that I was in the first half, yeah? First half brace. Not just, 90 minutes getting one at the very end, some garbage goal to sort of the cherry atop the sundae. No, this was a first half. He had the brace before halftime. So just by way of that, I think Roma, because there was this discussion of Milan wanting Salamakers back. No, not after that tonight. No, not happening. But anyway, when it comes to just sort of the crowning jewel, okay, the João Félix chip over Svilar was when you just knew that this is out of Roma's hands. This is in the hands of some force.
Yeah.
Well beyond our understanding.
It always
well
is.
Well beyond our reach.
It always is.
Did that guy score at all this season with Chelsea? I don't even know, but I'm going to venture to say he did not score a single goal with Chelsea. Let me look it up very quickly, because
the classic thing that never happens to Roma when a player who has a lot of hype comes in and scores immediately. Never happened with Roma. Never. You would always have.
Oh, hold on. But at 1 January it did, and you know which one I'm speaking of. 2015.
Okay, no, but what, El Shaarawy scoring in his first game against Hellas Verona? Yeah, but El Shaarawy, how much hype was there for El Shaarawy, who was coming in from his time at Monaco? Come on, you know, and João Félix was the guy that the Atletico Madrid paid 120 million euros for, so...
Yes. No. Okay. He had one Premier League goal.
Okay.
He scored
great.
Four
Fantastic.
In Conference League and then two in the FA Cup.
Very exciting.
So he plays 2 minutes. He's in Serie A all of 2 minutes. And I mean, what better way? If there is ever a team where you need to gain some self-esteem, if you want to get off to a very quick start, look no further than AS Roma. I always think of Santander because that
you have an affair.
Well,
with Santander.
Listen, I know because you remember which game I'm speaking of.
Of course,
Roma Bologna.
Yeah, 2-0.
Yes, Federico Santander, who let's see how many matches he played at Bologna. It looks like 67 over four seasons and four. Oh, I'm sorry, he has 71 appearances with Bologna over 4 years, 10 goals. So a fantastic return, right? 10 goals. So a fifth of those came against Roma. And I'm only thinking of the one game. There could be more than that.
Yeah.
A guy who, nothing better than a striker who doesn't score goals. When it comes to Roma, though, they find the back of the net. And that is where I come out on this thing. With Ranieri, the things he's saying about a cancer or...
Listen, no, no, man, I, that's is... what I'm saying. No, no, that's what I'm saying.
No,
I'm
just saying I, that, I'm saying, no, I,
I'm just saying that it sounds like he's making really a diagnosis of a seriously sick team that is just, you know, that is in a very, very tough spot to get them out of, no matter the quality that he so often praises. So that's what I'm saying is that there is a clash between what he says in the pre-match press conferences where he applauds the players for their quality. He says that, you know, without the likes of Paredes, Almos, Dybala, the team wouldn't be the same. But then every time he goes out there and when things are bad, he sort of acknowledges that there is some bad juju, you know, reigning over this team.
Well, it has to be something more than that because, you knew what we were in for. When did Tammy score that first goal? 15th minute, 16th minute? Let me just double check.
I just noticed that you put one of the segments titled as Ouch. So,
yes.
Is this part of the segment of the titled as Ouch? Because
this whole podcast. Exactly. I'm just saying.
I think we should rename the podcast. I think we should rename the Ouch Press podcast because this is really, it's sort of like, it's magnificent how Roma just deliver always on the sort of the most predictable aspect because, you know, tonight you lose once again, kind of like with AZ Alkmaar. Well, contrary to AZ Alkmaar, here you lose against the team that clearly, you know, put on a lot of quality into their squad over January. You can't argue against that. There are just names that make a difference, you know, and they, that's the reason why they signed them. But also because Roma, at some point, they just got lost, you know, the same way they got lost against AZ Alkmaar, the same way they got lost against Como. Here, they get lost. They concede a stupid counterattack. They're foolish, you know, they're foolish. That's what usually happens when they lose, is Roma are, first of all, timid. They fail to be aggressive. The way they are aggressive when things go well for them, and we praise them because it is so unexpected of them to be aggressive right away. Tonight they were lethargic to start with. So that is never a good sign. When Roma are lethargic from the start, you know they're not going to really pick up steam as they go on. Against Napoli, it was different. Against Napoli, they were playing, clearly they were playing their game. They had an idea of how they want to tackle that match. Tonight, that idea was not there. Tonight, I really was puzzled by Shomurodov starting again. I was puzzled by Pizzilli being once again in the lineup because I don't know. Sometimes really it comes down to the selection can really send a message. Against Napoli, the message was, okay, we're focusing on Coppa Italia. We have also a plan B. But tonight, it almost feels like Ranieri thought to himself, well, they did well against Napoli, so let's give this another shot, you know? And it just doesn't work this way, especially when you face a quality side like Milan.
Well, that's the thing that most irks me, because I believe I said Roma should be relatively rested and motivated, healthy. And by the way, the manner in which they earned the draw against Napoli, that could give them a boost coming into this one. I mean, right from the start, Andy, there was never any feeling of aggression, continuity in the way they were playing. At no point did you feel like they were really in this. I mean, even when Dovbyk, he scores early in the second half, and you start to think to yourself, okay. They just could not do anything immediately after. Then you had the goal where Renders, he heads it into his own net. It's called off. And at that point, you just saw the life fade from the entire squad. And it's one of those performances that just everything about it irks me because you had individual mistakes. You had what I thought was a very clear lack of concentration. Like that goal of Joao Felix, I don't know if you watched how spread open the defense was. It was horrifying.
Hummels had a bit of a nightmare night tonight.
Definitely
the defense was shaky. I'm not gonna point to Mancini not being there, but just overall the team clearly was not, again, itself. The team was just not there. It really felt like, but how many times have I said this? Oh my God, it sounds like I'm just wandering the same hallways of my brain, you know?
We could copy and paste the episode of last season when they.
I'm sorry to everybody. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry to everybody. But it's just, if someone can find a way to assess what this team is doing in any different way, then please come on over because. What they are doing is just so repetitive, both in the good and the bad. And so when the bad happens, it's just almost, it becomes comically funny to have to spell out time and time again these things that just have been clear to us since September. Because these are things that Roma have been doing. It's Ranieri, as good of an impact as he's had on the team, has not cured the team of those aspects. These are things that Roma have carried for years and years. This year, particularly, it was bad. But what are, you know, what can we add to that in the sense of where does this team go from here? Because it's always like that. From one match to the next one, it's what they always say. Oh, we focus game after game. Okay, but in the grand scheme of things, guys, when do you think you're going to figure this thing out? I really would like to have an answer to that, you know, because we talk about continuity, we talk about consistency, but for me, I'm if you look at the recent string of results, it's pretty good. The recent string of results is pretty good. And it's minus that defeat to AZ Alkmaar. Everything else is more or less acceptable. It's wow, okay, cool. But at the same time, is that really enough to change your mind regarding this team, what this team can and cannot do in the grand scheme of things? Because hey, at the end of the day, we knew they could not really go for this Coppa Italia. Bottom line is, this team just doesn't have it in them. As soon as there is that bit of competitive spirit, that bit of competitive edge where you have to come out as the winner, they don't have it in them.
No, they don't. And they are so deflating because, as you mentioned, that meme of the you start to get hope and then, you know, it's just this repetitive cycle. Of the moment you begin to believe in this team, they just, you are deflated and brought back down to earth with performances like that of tonight. You brought up Milan in the transfer market, and this is obviously our first episode after the winter period of the transfer market. Listen, this is one of those markets where you have to, as per usual, anybody who is mad that they didn't land some big profile name, if you haven't learned now, there's nothing you or I, Andy, we can say that will get anybody to learn the lesson.
Yeah. Some people will say, well, Roma should be aiming for 50 million euro signing such as the Frattesi one to make a statement.
Yeah, Frattesi. That was never going to happen in January.
It was never going to happen because, again, it's all a matter of just making decisions that don't hurt you in the long run, as fun as it would be to give this team a kick in the ass with some big signing. It's not going to happen in January. Let's remember, our probably biggest spending year in January was last year when Roma acquired Tommaso Baldanzi, and that was for 10 million euros. So
Angelino.
And Angelino, and together it was 15 million euros, but Angelino was with an option to buy at the end of the season. So you didn't even pay anything for him in January. The only thing you paid was, I think, a slice of what Empoli were asking for Tommaso Baldanzi. That's about it. And that's been the norm for years. So this transfer market, we addressed a few positions on the last day of the transfer window. It seems like almost every other team in Serie A did the same. Juve brought Kelly. Yeah. Milan obviously did what they did. Everybody else was sleeping. Napoli added Okafor for no reason, aside from maybe eating McDonald's in Naples instead of Milan for a change. Inter were sleepwalking until they bumped into Nicola Zaleski for whatever reason. And now, listen, I'm recording this from Poland, and here, his transfer to Inter, it's been talked about the way when Diego Armando Maradona joined Napoli, okay? Like, I'm not kidding, John. I'm in Poland. I was visiting some relatives. I was in their living room. We were watching national news. On national news, John, there was Nicola Zaleski in the Inter shirt, and that was being talked about as a major, major deal nationwide, okay? And mind you, this is a country of 40 million people, so it's not a small place, okay? But Nicola Zaleski to Inter here was nationwide news, so that was very funny. And so overall, Roma, mind you, they finish up this, everybody was getting on Gisolfi's ass, and then the final day, Roma scoop up this pool of players. Some young.
That's a good way to describe it.
Because really, there's no other way to talk about it. I'm not going to get into any debates because I don't know anything, you know, and I've always maintained that the cool thing about this podcast that we're doing is that we're really two helpless idiots who mostly scramble their way in the dark. Whenever we have to pull up some statistics, it's almost like we're touching fire. The same way when we have to discuss, you know, Anas Salah Eddin from Twente, I'm not gonna expect John to know a whole lot of about Dutch football and about this specific footballer who's 23 years old. I'm just not going to say, hey, John, can you tell me about the last time you watched?
Yeah, you've been watching Eredivisie with all that extra time. Give us your breakdown on how much of a fit this guy's going to make. Or even, you know, Nelson.
The only thing we can do, John, is say, what did they... They came to replace players, okay? Gurna Duet came to replace Insolefe. Nelson came to replace Mario Hermoso. Gollini came to replace Matthew Ryan. And Salah Eddin and Devin Rensch. Salah Eddin replaces Samuel Dal, and Devin Rensch is that extra player that Ranieri was asking for, this fullback who can stretch the team and help them play with a four-man backline. That's it. So we've secured replacements and we've added a bonus. You have to look at it this way. You can't be searching for a big name in there because you're not going to find it. You'll be disappointed. And why be disappointed in this day and age where we live in a horrible, dark world where awful things happen and we get plenty of disappointment? Why add disappointment to the January transfer window of all periods, the time where miracles happen, such as Jonathan Silva joins Roma and puts on dreadlocks?
Yeah. Listen, it's if you are expecting, because again, the gold standard of January markets is 2015. And by the way, you somewhat hinted at this about El Shaarawy from Monaco. Roma do their best work when they in the market, at least when they get guys who are these sort of reclamation projects. I can't think of a better word, but you know, Angelino, you would do that deal 10 times over, probably at double the price. Yeah, El Shaarawy, that guy comes in from Monaco. He goes, he makes that big move there after having a big season at Milan. The guy can't score to save his life. Maybe there's some substances in the country that perhaps help him come back to form. But regardless, I mean, he shines. If I'm not mistaken, it wasn't Diego Perotti. He also came in January, no? It's these players where, you know, where they have a chance to sort of refind, or I guess to get their feet back on the ground, so to speak. And these younger guys who, because what's the oldest age of somebody who came? Trying to think of, is Nelson the oldest one?
Yes. 26.
Yeah, he's 26. Mm-hmm. Yes.
26.
So,
Salah Eddin, 23. David Rensch, 21. Gurna Duet, 21. So, we're talking, and both of those, Rensch and Gurna Duet, have, I believe, over 100 appearances with their previous clubs. So, that also sort of gives you a hint about the kind of profile that Roma want. They don't want total inexperience, at least in this case, when they were replacing, say, Insolefe. They don't go out of their way and they get a 19-year-old kid who's played for the Primavera of Dinamo Zagreb, you know. They go out of their way and they get a guy who has about 120 appearances for Salzburg and has already made appearances in the Champions League. That should be sort of that sends a message to guys like, hey, let's face it, I'm gonna name him, Brian Cristante, that hey, your time is up, because from now on we will be going after players of this caliber, of this kind, the players who will threaten you not only from an age perspective but just purely, again, just experience wise because hey, this guy is not a kid, you know, this guy has played his fair share. So get your butt into gear. Start playing seriously. I don't know if we shall prepare ourselves for Brian Cristante potentially leaving the club because the Turkish transfer market is still open and we've been hearing stuff about him and Galatasaray. I don't know. I do feel like the Cristante era is coming to an end. More and more likely it will happen in the summer. But that, I think, in of itself gives you an idea of what happened this season, where even someone like Cristante, who for so long was a certainty, this time around in January, Roma were trying desperately to get rid of him. So I'm just saying, that is when Cristante is on the transfer blog, that's when you know that someone is trying to steer the ship in a completely different direction.
Well, I wasn't sure if it was this, the previous January, maybe two or three prior to that. I am almost certain at one point you described the players coming in as not a corpse, and that was really what the standard should be. I wholeheartedly agree with that. It's a body that functions. It's January. It's Serie A. You're not exactly spending freely like the Premier League. I mean, what did Manchester City pay in January? You know, almost a drop in the bucket to them. Oh, 50, 60, 70, 80 million euros. As if it's nothing, you know? Monopoly money, so to speak. Speaking of very serious matters, Roma playing Venezia. Dear old friend, Eusebio, I hope he's doing well. I can't. I mean, what am I supposed to say? Make fun of that stadium, which is a decrepit piece of garbage.
Oh,
in
my
any
God.
Respectable country. No, listen, I have to say this because we had one patron, I think the previous, no, 2 years ago when they were in Serie A, they went to that place and they said, do you have any tips?
When we lost 2-1. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I always fly into Venetium when you go back to Vicenza. And I almost said it as a joke, but I was also half serious. Bring a construction hat. You have to wear a construction hat going into there. Because either a concrete cylinder will, as you're making your way into the stadium, will fall atop of your head. Or you will be walking towards the stadium. And just the ground beneath you, you know, it will look like, what is that movie? Where it freezes Day After Tomorrow
yeah.
with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
2004, yeah.
Oh, my God. I forgot how bad that movie was. Well, bad. bad movies can still be good in a way.
Sure.
Like guilty pleasure movies,
absolutely.
So to speak. But it's sort of like that. It is in any respectable country, that stadium would have been condemned, knocked down, thrown completely into the nearest landfill refuse station that is able to house all of the rubble because it is disgusting. Having said all that, they should win. You want me to break down Eusebio Di Francesco team? Are they bottom of the table? They have to be. Still bottom of Serie A, no? Let's just, no, either not. Monza, which by the way, was the easiest for Monza, that was easy to pick.
Yeah.
Nesta,
yep.
Still, you know, selecting Nesta.
Give me a break. But Nesta is gone, man.
No, I I'm saying in the summer when they selected him.
Okay. John, I don't know what you know. I don't know. Maybe our research team
still,
is not giving you the right to research, you know?
If you just had to guess, yeah, so I was right. So Venezia have won one match, and let's see how many months. Let me do the maths here very quickly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. Okay, so 13 matches. Venezia, dear friend Eusebio Di Francesco, one victory in their previous 13 matches. This is a terrible, terrible team with no Sule, by the way, for him to bail out Di Francesco again. Win. That's my analysis. Win. Okay. What do you have to add? I'm sure you have a great, insightful tactical breakdown on this Venezia side. Strengths, weaknesses. Yeah. Can you name more than five players on their team?
No.
We'll leave it there. Okay. Until next time, everyone. We'll be back after the showdown, the exhibition between Roma Venezia at the weekend. Until next time. Ciao.